Okay, hi everybody. I'm continuing as I seem to have some time today to do this. This is program 56 of Externalization of the Hierarchy, and we're entering a very interesting area, quite current, but before we get there, we have some introductory statements from even from 1919. But actually, there is then it's a jump to 1946. As I say, what we have here is a collection of essays, and this next stage begins really on page 501, and into 502, the stages in the externalization of the hierarchy, and then we're going to look at the subjective basis of the new world religion. So these are what you would call introductory remarks. And I don't know how long this will continue. We'll just go and see how we do. So this is, you know, back from the establishment of the Lucis Trust and the Arcane School. And it comes just 1 month after the Tibetan made his initial contact with Alice Bailey. Those thought forms which will materialize as the religion of the new age already exist on the mental plane and are in process of precipitation onto the physical plane. It is the magical process we know. Their lineaments can already be discerned. The wise guides of the race working under the Christ and having in view the need of the public for a form, seek at this time to hold just as much as may be of the old form and lineaments, as much that is as is consistent with evolution and progress. So this is sort of a Ray 4 approach, we might say. A linking past with the present and future. In the West, what the great ones seek to break is not the form of Christianity, but the grip of the churches on the minds of the masses. The old forms of thought and of interpretation are now too restricted and too tightening in their hold upon the imprisoned and struggling life. That life must break forth. It cannot be confined by the ancient restrictions. Yet at this time, there does not exist the need for an utterly new venture or for an entirely new presentation of truth. At this time, now that was 100 years ago. Nature and evolution move with gentle gradations and not with breaks and uncorrelated manifestations in the world of form. Well, we wonder how the quantum leap fits in with that idea. In all the progressing developments, the old outlines can be seen, enlarged, purified, and more beautiful, yet recognizable as the old form on a higher turn of the spiral. So this is a linking method, and the fourth ray is particularly suitable for that. There was an entrance of the fourth ray spoken of in 1924, a little bit after this is being written, and a much more powerful entrance in 2025, the fourth ray from its monadic aspect. It is not the freak cults, nor the widely divergent sects, nor the bands of advanced religious revolutionaries who can meet the crying need of the many inquirers today. What is required is the revivification of the old forms and their infusion with fresh life. The old organizations must be awakened to the hour of opportunity and must change from static organizations to living organisms. Change from static organizations to living organisms. The old rituals must be revived and brought up to date in the esoteric sense of the word, and the religious students of the world must be graduated into a higher school, giving occult interpretations and taught that, after all, the truth has been present all the time, but hidden and misinterpreted. So there are all kinds of approach to religion that won't work, but something in the middle of the road where the forms are familiar and yet raised to a higher level of livingness is required. It is surely easier to swing the masses into step and give the newer light of truth if that light is poured onto familiar ground. Okay, so that's, I think we have to agree with that. All must be given the chance to see and hear and be offered the opportunity to weigh and judge the significance of reality. It is not just the two or three of supreme importance or who have the nerve to take the needed forward steps who must receive prime consideration, but the truth must be stepped down and adapted in such a way that the advanced minds, the inquiring minds, and the reactionary masses may have opportunity offered to them to the measure of their receptivity. Did not the greatest of all the great ones do this himself in the synagogue and with his disciples in Judean days? So it's not that we cut out of the new possibilities those who are not advanced thinkers, not at all that, but must make the new presentation as appealing as possible. And, you know, this certainly holds good 100 years later. This is the year 2020. And the material here is written in 1919. So, for everybody in their own method of receptivity, according to their own method of receptivity. But DK has said elsewhere that it will be a long time before occultism per se can be appreciated by humanity in general or by the masses. The aspirants and disciples of the world must realize that the hour has struck and that the forces of the Christ are being marshaled for a supreme endeavor. And this is following immediately the first phase of the Great War. They called it the Great War, 1914 to 1918. These forces include both the human and angel evolutions. And Christ works with certain angels, as does Master K.H. and D.K. and Master Moria, and probably a number of the masters. It might be of use if I were to give you some idea of the scheme of preparation for the transition period between the old age and the new, as it is in process of completion in the council chamber of the great Lord. Preparation in the council chamber, your acceptance and understanding of it and of its symbolic implications are dependent upon your capacity to assimilate truth, to use your intuition, and thus to assist in the work itself when the right time comes. So this goes all the way back 25 years, 26, 27, let's see, 26 years before the material we have been reading about, dating from 1945. One event is already in process of manifesting. The Christ and his disciples, the masters of the wisdom, and the great companions are approaching nearer the physical plane. You know, the idea is that the Christ has never been closer than he is at this point. The work of mental preparation for that event and the construction of the thought form of the Advent or Second Coming has now been completed. And I suppose that work was done under the auspices of the Theosophical Society, but we're also talking about the inner preparation involving the masters of the wisdom. There remains the precipitation of that event, its appearance on astral levels, and its materialization on the physical plane, the magical process of it all. I would ask of all of you, I would ask all of you who read these words, anent the Second Coming, to reserve opinion as to the exact nature of that event. Keep the concept impersonal and link not that appearance to a personality or to an individual. If you make the mistake of attaching the meaning to an individual, you will limit your understanding and fail in right recognition of the group purpose. So impersonality is required. And this is all in preparation for the reappearance. At this time, it was not known for sure whether the war would continue underground and burst forth again in 1939. Indeed, there was hope that it need not do so. The work of pouring out the principle of love, which is the Christ principle, and of lifting the masses in their consciousness to the pitch where they can understand and welcome that love principle, is the main work of the New Age, and it will inaugurate the age of brotherhood and mold humanity into the likeness of the Christ. Well, this is a very important statement. And I'll repeat it. The work of pouring out the principle of love, which is the Christ principle, and of lifting the masses in their consciousness to the pitch where they can understand and welcome that love principle, is the main work of the New Age. And it will inaugurate the age of brotherhood and mold humanity into the likeness of the Christ. Maybe we have no idea what this age of brotherhood can really be, but we will by the time we are sufficiently advanced into the Aquarian age. that the Oriental peoples may call this great official by another name than that of the Christ has no bearing on reality and alters not the fact of his influence and his esoteric coming. Again, other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. And we forget that. And it narrows us down into reduced usefulness if we forget it. Certain of the masters have the work under their control and through their group disciples have already actively engaged in the work of preparation. The Master Moria, the Master K.H., and the Master Jesus are, they're all show hands, yes, are the three working at this time in closest cooperation with the Christ. With them work the Master Hilarion, he whom you call Master D.K., a hint there as to who's writing, and another master who is specially linked with the work of preparation in the sacred land of India. He gives India the title of the sacred land, and yet he does not call the so-called Holy Land the Holy Land. He says it is no longer holy. One of the English masters is also extraordinarily active, and the master in America is laying plans towards an active participation in the work. Is this the Master P, or maybe Apollodorus? He says P is not the initial, but if you add an A, it's pretty close. Well, these are masters involved in the externalization. Masters much involved in the externalization of the hierarchy. These consecrated workers, capital W, if they are members of the hierarchy, these consecrated workers form a nucleus around the Christ and direct much of the preparatory work. It is not possible for me to tell you the lines of their activity. I can but give you evidence which may later be demonstrated as true. Later, he does seem to offer an understanding of the activity of these masters. But remember, this was written right after he met Alice Bailey for their cooperative work of 30 years. This was written in 1919. These masters are definitely preparing themselves for the task of outer activity and are intensifying their work on the astral plane. You know, those are the planes on which the majority of humanity can most easily be reached, the etheric physical plane and the astral plane, especially the physical plane and the astral plane. To this fact can be traced the interest people are now showing in occultism and in the work of the masters. More and more people, page 505, are becoming sensitive to and conscious of their presence, their capital T, and more are finding their way into the groups of disciples, which he thinks is very important, and he advised us use the book Discipleship in the New Age, Volume 1, to come closer to the hierarchy and actually to enter an ashram. Okay. The Master Moria is at this time acting as the inspirer of the great national executives throughout the world. Even those whose ideals coincide not with yours are being welded into the world plan, and much of their immediate work is organizing the individual nations and welding them into an homogeneous whole, preparatory to their entrance into the great international thought form. So he's telling a little bit about what the masters are doing in Initiation Humanist Solar, which was written a little later. He says even more. It's always difficult to consider working with those who do not share similar ideals. If, however, the true and essential goals of such people could be identified, it would be seen that there's much more commonality than one suspected. So the individual nations have to be organized and welded into an homogeneous whole, preparatory to their entrance into the great international thought form. Internationalism is supported by the hierarchy, and isolationism is not. This certain nations today have to acknowledge. All who work with far vision and all who hold before any seething and bewildered nation an ideal for the whole are under his wide distribution inspiration. So this is Master Moria at work. Yeah. I haven't used much green here in the past, but maybe a little bit now. Okay, so it's Master M and the cultivation of internationalism. Master. Okay. And with him work the great, so internationalism is the aim of his endeavor. Now let's remember that about Master Moria, because it's so easy these days to put one's nation first. Recently, America first, which is really against the plan, and other nations probably as well. With him works the great angel or deva of the spiritual plane referred to in a treatise on cosmic fire as the Lord Agni, a Rajadeva Lord working with Master Moria. He seeks to touch within the hidden spiritual fire the head centers of all intuitive statesmen. Yeah. So this is actually a little more about how Master Moria works. Really, you know, it's impossible to emerge with as complete an understanding as possible unless one reads all the books, because scattered throughout the books are the various pieces of information which are essential and which must be unified. Three great groups of angels, the gold, the flame-colored, and the white and gold, work on mental levels with those lesser angels or devas who vitalize thought forms and who keep alive the thoughts of the guides of the race for the benefit of humanity. So, three great groups of angels, the gold, the flame, and the white and gold. Gold is repeated. Are here found working with Master Moria and the Lord Agni, the Rajadeva Lord known as Agni. There's a greater Agni, of course, that includes the entire personality and nature of the soul of Logos and whose province extends onto the cosmic mental plane. Master KH, the Chohan on the teaching ray, and he who will be the next world teacher, is already active in his line of endeavor. He is attempting to transmute the thought form of religious dogma to permeate the churches with the idea of the coming, the second coming here of the Christ and his church, the Masters, and bring to a sorrowing world the vision of the great helper, the Christ. He works with the rose devas and with the blue devas on astral levels, and with the wise help of the great guardian angel of that plane, called in Hindu terminology Lord Varuna. He's called a guardian angel. I think I'm going to make note of that. The activity of the astral plane is being much intensified, and the angels of devotion, in whom the aspect of divine love is preeminent, work with the astral bodies of all those who are ready to strengthen and redirect their spiritual aspiration and desire. Well, we live in an astrally polarized planet, and later that will raise, but not yet. We have not taken the second planetary or cosmic initiation, not yet, as a planet. They are the angels who guard the sanctuaries of all the churches, cathedrals, temples, and mosques of the world. They are now increasing the momentum of their vibration for the raising of the consciousness of the attendant congregations. The Master KH works also with the prelates of the great Catholic churches, Greek, Roman, and Anglican, with the leaders of the Protestant communions, and with the foremost workers in the field of education, and also through and with the dominant demagogues and organizers of the people. His interests lie with all those who, with unselfish intent, strive after the ideal and who live for the helping of others. Okay. Was that meditation or was that a little nap? Well, anyway, this is the objective of the Master KH. And of course, these things are again listed in the initiation, the book Initiation, Human and Solar. The Master Jesus works especially with the masses of the Christian people who inhabit the Occidental countries and who gather in the churches. He is distinctively a great leader, an organizer, and a wise general executive. In IHS, it tells us that he is like a commanding general. A special group of devas work under his command, and his connection with all true church leaders and executives is very close. He acts ceaselessly on the inner esoteric council of the churches, and with him, the groups of violet angels cooperate. In church matters, he himself carries out the behests of the Christ, saving him much and working as his intermediary. This will seem logical to you, for his destiny is closely interwoven with the Christian church, and it marks the culmination of his work for the West. No one knows or understands so fully the wise and wisely as he the problems of the Western culture, nor the needs of the people who carry forth the destiny of Christianity. Well, you know, inasmuch as we have the violet devas, I think I will use that color. And here I will, you know, use maybe a different color. That'll do. So there is the distinction between how the Master KH and Jesus work, but the three are most involved with the Christ. And others like Master DK, Master Hilarion, are a certain English master, they're also involved, but maybe not as focally as Moria KH and the Master Jesus. The Master Hilarion, see, we find this information pretty much in Initiation, Human and Solar. The Master Hilarion is actively occupied in the field of America, stimulating the intuitive perception of its people. And we remember that he, even though he is a scientific master, he works on bringing together the intuitives, the psychics, and the scientists. He has under observation all those who are true psychics and who develop their powers for the good of the community. The Master Hilarion. Okay. He controls and transmutes the great active movements which endeavor to strip the veil away from the world of the unseen. So spiritualism would be one of his areas, and he has much to do with various psychical research movements throughout the world. You know, it's applying the scientific method to the psychic investigations, and with the aid of a certain group of angels, not specified perhaps, he works to open up the world of departed souls to the seeker. And I will say that, therefore, in the forthcoming improvement of survival and even of reincarnation, he will be active. And much that has of late convinced the materialistic world of life beyond has emanated from him. You find some very scientifically oriented psychologists trying to remove the veil between the so-called living and the dead. Yeah. So let's just see here. I don't really have this. I'll leave it like that. So rending the veil or taking away the veil, he was responsible for a major rent in the veil involving the first ray, and probably his deeply monadic ray is the first, therefore having to do with life and with death. So we can tell that he will be very active in the time immediately ahead. Here is, sort of DK's hint as to who he is, although it was not ever given out really on purpose. I think much later, Alice Bailey left a trace of who the master was at the bottom of a certain page, and then it was given out. And so many already knew it. Master DK said, "How you react to this piece of information will say something about your worthiness to participate in my work. He whom you call the Master DK works much with those who heal with pure altruism. He occupies himself with those who are active in the laboratories of the world," so he must carry some fifth ray, it would seem, "with great philanthropic world movements such as the Red Cross." His background on the sixth ray and on the third ray, and with the rapidly developing welfare movement. So he sees to the poor and the disadvantaged. Of course, we know now who is writing. We know that. And it's interesting to understand Master DK's own connection with what he's saying here. Healing, laboratories, philanthropy, welfare. He seems to have in his purview the downtrodden and the disadvantaged. His work also embraces teaching, which we consider maybe the major part of his work. And he does much at this time to train the various disciples of the world, taking the disciples of many of the masters, many, not just Master M and KH, and so relieving them, the masters, temporarily in this hour of crisis from their teaching responsibilities. Many of the healing angels, such as those referred to in the Bible, cooperate with him. Well, this, I think, gives some understanding of Master DK's capabilities and of his altruism. He basically has that humility, and he seeks to relieve, to help lift the world off of Atlas's shoulders. And, is much appreciated for that. He knows his stature and his status, and he seeks to help the others who may be of even somewhat greater accomplishment be freer to do their tasks. And so I think it's been said of him that no matter what the task is, he will undertake it if he sees that it can help certain of the masters. And naturally, he specifically is working with Master KH, his master, unless, of course, the Christ is considered to be his master, which in a way is the case. and Master Moria. He has a close relationship with both of them. The master who works in and for India labors with the minds of politicians, educators, and religious dreamers and idealists, and I guess, you know, is this he strengthens the efforts of those who work for the liberation of the submerged masses, submerged in matter, provided their methods are constructive and not destructive, and that the gains desired are not furthered at the expense of any part of the human family. And let me get rid of this. So this is, you know, I try to get this correct. And we ask, is this Master Jupiter the regent of India, or is it just too, is he too high for these particular labors? Because he's the oldest of the masters. I suppose this tells you he's coming from the previous solar system. And he is higher than the Manu in his attainment. He labors not to exalt one section of the populace at the expense of the other. So there's some kind of Libran work there, but works towards brotherhood and the right understanding of the requirements of all souls, be they far advanced along the path or just starting upon their planetary pilgrimage under the law of rebirth. So is this Master Jupiter? Because it doesn't seem that there is an English master, Indian master mentioned otherwise, except maybe in the southern Indian school with Yogananda and Lahiri Mahasaya and Babaji and all of those fascinating characters who appeared in the autobiography of a yogi written by Yogananda. One of the English masters has in hand the definite guidance of the Anglo-Saxon people towards a joint destiny. So when we talk about the United Kingdom, maybe he is behind this, and then I would have to ask, is this the Master Thomas on the second ray? The future for the Anglo-Saxon is great, and not yet has the highest inflow of the tide of its civilization been reached. History holds much glory for England and America when they work together for the world good, not supplanting each other or interfering with each other's empire. These were the days of empire. But working for the fullest union, in the fullest union, for the preservation of the peace of the world and the right handling of world problems in the field of economics and education. I suppose particularly England will be involved in the economics part, and America, United States, in the educational area. Well, they certainly cooperated in the last part of the Great War, the Second World war, and you know, this was written 20 years before that really broke out, but the danger was always there. In the book, The Initiate in the New Age, in the new land, well, there's the initiate, there's the initiate in the dark cycle, that's the third, and the initiate, well, I'm not sure of the title, it's either New Age or New Land or something like that. But a certain Sir Thomas does appear, and along with him, the Master KH and the Master DK, a second-rate group. So he would have been the former Sir Thomas More, who, as it were, lost his head under the marital preferences of King Henry VIII when Thomas was defending the Catholic approach, which basically did not approve. Well, you know, the Church of England was going to be formed to allow Henry to do the kind of marrying he wanted to do. And Sir Thomas was a Catholic. There were some very bloody episodes at that time between Catholics and Protestants in England. The story about Thomas More is that as punishment, he was to be drawn and quartered. Terrible death. But Henry had such respect for him, even though he saw his death as necessary, that he ordered decapitation instead of a more ghastly kind of execution. Sir Thomas had a sense of humor, and he asked to be helped up to the scaffold, you know, where the execution was to take place. And he said, as we're coming down, I will shift for myself, something like that. As the seventh ray of organization and of ceremonial work is now coming into prominence and manifestation, the work of the master on that ray is that of synthesizing on the physical plane all parts of the plan. Well, here, you know, we're talking about the period before the Master R became the Maha Chohan, closer to the year 1925. The Master Rakuzi takes of the general plan, as it is outlined in the inner council chamber, and approximates it to the possible. He might be regarded as acting as the general manager for the carrying out of the plans of the executive council of the Christ. Now, when he became Maha Chohan, it's only natural to think that his duties expanded greatly. And he began to focus on the third ray. The estimate is that he had a seventh ray soul and a third ray monad. It might be of interest here to point out that when he comes, whom angels and men await, and whose work it is to inaugurate the new age, and so complete the work he began in Palestine 2,000 years ago, he will bring with him some of the great angels as well as certain of the masters. You know, even in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was being threatened and the guard of the high priests came for him, he asked, didn't he think, was there any here that thought it was not possible for him to invoke the aid of angels by calling upon his heavenly Father. But of course, he had to fulfill the law, you know, and it would not have done for him to escape in that way, which he certainly could have done. The angels have ever been active in biblical history and will again enter into the lives of human beings with more power than has lately been the case. The call has gone out for them again to approach humanity, and with their heightened vibration and superior knowledge, unite their forces with those of the Christ and his disciples for the helping of the race. And into this type of training, the Master Serapis is said to be entering, especially with regard to preparation for the new Renaissance. They have, for instance, much to communicate anent color and sound, you know, especially in the healing areas and the areas of beautification, and the effect of these two forces on the etheric bodies of men and animals and flowers. When what they have to impart is apprehended by the race, physical ills and sickness will be offset. Yeah. The group of violet angels or devas who work on the four etheric levels will be especially active, and they will work in the four main groups of men who are in incarnation at any time. Sounds like some esoteric archetype of the caste system. Maybe. What do we have? The purple, the light purple, the violet, and the lavender in ascending order. Four rays dominate at any period, with one of the four more potent than the other three. You have this idea, the castes. You have this idea symbolized in the four castes of India, and you will find also that these four castes are found universally throughout the planet, and I would say in this fourth round. These four groups of angels are a band of servers pledged to service the service of the Christ, and their work is to contact men and to teach them along certain lines. And let's have that devas contacting men to teach them. Now, point A, they will teach humanity to see etherically, and this they will do by heightening human vibration by interaction with their own. Already we're told that there are conditions within the ethers that are making them more visible to the eye, and it's not a psychic ability, it's a natural physical ability. And then B, they will give instruction in the effect of color in the healing of disease, and particularly the efficacy of violet light in lessening human ills and in curing those physical plane sicknesses which originate in the etheric body. We have a very strong connection with the color violet in the etheric body, and even in the cosmic ethers, you kind of wonder if violet is not the underlying color. You know, like when you get to the Buddhic plane, you know, violet would be analogous to the purple, and yet the yellow, the blue are also there found. So etheric vision is coming, and with it, the visibility of those who have departed. And this will be one of the factors which removes the usual fear of death. They will also demonstrate to the materialistic thinkers of the world the fact that the superconscious worlds exist, and that angels and men who are out of incarnation and possess no physical bodies can be contacted and known. Well, we look forward to that, because the fear of death has held men in thrall periodically for long centuries and millennia. Maybe in earlier days, the coming and going in and out of the body was easier. So these have to do with teachings by the devas, as we, as we move forward into a more etherealized age. Healing through color, etheric vision, healing through color, the visibility and reality of the higher subtle worlds. Point D, they will train human beings in the knowledge of superhuman physics, a real metaphysics, meta, beyond physics, so that weight shall be for them transmuted. Well, you kind of think about the runners of Tibet that can sort of glide above the ground, as the story goes, and cover vast distances in a short period of time. Motion will become more rapid. Speed will be accompanied by noiselessness and smoothness, and hence fatigue will be eliminated. It's not exactly like running the marathon to the point of great exhaustion, although that is a test of the will. In the human control of etheric levels lies the overcoming of fatigue and the power to transcend time. Until this prophecy is a fact and recognized as such, the meaning of such words will remain obscure. So superhuman physics are coming. Rapidity of motion, noiselessness of motion, the elimination of fatigue, you know, frictionlessness, we might say. All of this part of the wonder of the new age. We can barely anticipate what it will mean. The masters know, and they wonder, I'm sure, at our tendency to hold on so tightly to our prisons and to ways which prevent these new developments. Further teaching, they will teach humanity how rightly to nourish the body and to draw from the surrounding ethers the requisite food. Man will concentrate his attention upon the etheric body, and work and health of the physical body will become increasingly automatic. Even now there are the breatharians, they go through many exercises and through a struggle to live off the ethers. Some succeed, some die, some lose their health, some sustain their health. It's coming. They will also teach human beings as individuals and as a race to expand their consciousness to include the superphysical. In the accomplishment of this, the separating web, the veil of the temple, which divides the physical plane from the unseen world, will be recognized as a fact in nature by the scientists. Now, when the veil of the temple was rent in twain by the Christ, was it this veil of which they are speaking, or was it the veil between the lower mental and the higher mental plane whereon the causal body can be found? Or was it a veil that separated the causal body from the Buddhic vehicle? There seem to be a number of veils. Its purpose will be acknowledged. Eventually, it will be destroyed by man discovering how to penetrate it. The date is imminent, and yet the date of the fourth initiation is not imminent for the majority of human beings, no. So maybe we're talking about this particular veil of the temple, which separates the dense physical from the etheric. But then when you think of it, and you think in cosmic terms, the dense physical body of the planetary logos is in a way separated from his cosmic etheric body, maybe by another veil which is rent in twain into at the time of the fourth initiation. Through the increasing sensitivity of men and through the steady thinning of the separating veil, more and more during the coming years will the telepathic faculties of man and their power to respond to inner inspiration be developed and demonstrated. So telepathy will increase with the etherealization and with the rending of the veil. And by the growth of intuitional telepathy and the increasing comprehension of the power of color and sound, will the work of the Christ and the Great Ones be contacted and understood. When we read about the daily ritual of Sanat Kumara, it's sort of his seventh great purpose, the breaking of the waves of sound and color upon the shores of the world. It is not symbolic writing, says the Tibetan. And the people will be released from the thraldom of the past and enabled to enter into the liberty of the kingdom of God. So we have a much greater communication between subtle and the gross. And the higher worlds become a registered reality. Sensitivity increases during the seventh ray age. So all of this we have to look forward to during the Aquarian age. And it will reveal the wonders of this new age, this kind of enhanced communication between the gross and the subtle. Well, we've been here for about an hour, a little more, and we have a new section called Religious Organizations in the New Age. And I think that should be, you know, begin as its own program. So this is the end of program 56, and it's 501 to, I'm not sure what, to 510. Okay. So this is program 56, and it's approximately 1 hour, and approximately 5 minutes. And we're going from 501 to 510. And this is the 24th of May, 1 hour, 5 minutes. And hopefully there's no need to do another recording. Number 57 is coming up next. We don't know how long it will be. And it's 5:10. And the date will be XX. I'm not sure whether I can do any more today. We'll see. But this is our conclusion. We've learned something about the masters who are involved in the externalization. And we're studying overall the stages in the externalization of the hierarchy, and we're looking at, or we have just looked at, the subjective basis of the New World religion. Well, that New World religion has not yet blossomed, although there are people carrying on elements of it with the full moon meditations and invocations and so forth. It's coming. But the Piscean energy has to wane even more, because the reactionary fanatical types will adhere to it, not foreseeing the possibility of anything new and greater. So I'll begin by stopping the recording and wishing you many blessings and lots of love, and hopefully this will hopefully this will work. Bye now.